Good morning. Let's worship our Lord this morning in song. If y'all would on this first one, y'all stand with us.
Don't sit down. I want it done. Doggone it. You know what I'm saying? We got to listen now. Hey, shake somebody. Hug somebody. Wave hi to somebody. If you think you got something sickening, just wave from afar. Hey, shake them. Shake them.
Closer to time, we're going to meet Jesus. I done hit the 60 mark. I know I'm getting a lot closer than I used to be. But this old song is an old hymn. I think most of the older folks out there are going to know this song. A lot of the young folks don't know it. I heard somebody this morning say, I ain't never heard that song before. That's why I'm trying to put some of my men up here so younger folks will know them when we all get to heaven.
Pastoral staff and friend, and our youngin's about to come up here, and they've been practicing, and they've been practicing hard, and y'all, look, I know they're cute and stuff, and I know you don't think they need that extra building up, but I'll tell you what an awesome opportunity we have to encourage them. You know, they've been practicing for months to serve the Lord in this way, so let's encourage them. What do you think? Yeah, he says, all right. All right, I'm going to pray for us. And we're going to roll, and they're going. I'm going to get out of their way. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for a whole bunch of young folks, a whole bunch of all these little girls. You made them so, they're so pretty. They're so they love you. They're so simple in their thinking about, we're just going to dance for the Lord. And so, Lord, just bless us. Be glorified. And, Father, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Something I was remiss to do earlier. I got an opportunity to greet them as they came in. But we got Officer Kenny Ingram here with us, and we've been praying for him. I see him here. He's been there, and you all know his story because we've been praying for him. But you might not know. That, you know, when he came in today, he said he's the most blessed man on the face of the earth. You know? Yeah. So when y'all get a chance, just thank him. Don't hug him up real big now. You know what I'm saying? Don't shake him or nothing. just thank them and say thank you for doing what you do. Our law enforcement officers and first responders, they need our encouragement too. Amen? So y'all just thank them, and Kenny, we're glad you're here, and I appreciate you. Okay, girls. Good to be in the house of God. It's good to sing his praises. It's good to hear his word. It's good to have family and friends. And one of the founding pastors of Christ Community Church is visiting here today. And I always think that's cool. Randy Carver's here. And he just flicked the booger at me. And for y'all who know Randy, you know that that's not out of protocol for him. That's the SOP for Randy right there. But I'm so glad that y'all are here. As you may know, and if you don't know, I'll be glad to tell you, but we're gearing up to have a series of services that are revival services, they're celebration services, they're renewal services, they're restoration services. They're a big, fat, hello, God. We're ready to do what you'd have us to do. We're ready to be who you'd have us to be. We're ready to go where you'd have us to go. We're going to be doing that April 24th through the 27th, and I'm excited about it. Today's message is going to be kind of my opportunity to preach concerning the revival that I believe God wants to do among us, what I think He wants to do at Christ Community Church, and so I'm excited about it. We're going to be in Ezekiel chapters 37 and Ezekiel chapter 47, and we're just going to look at pictures of what revival looks like. Now, on April 24th to the 27th, what it's going to look like, and on that Sunday, we're going to have the founding pastor of Christ Community Church, Kevin Smith, Dr. Kevin. You know, when it's a formal thing, you got to put the doctor in there. But y'all know Kevin. He don't have a formal bone in his body, but Dr. Kevin Smith will be here to preach for us on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then Jeff Heim, that name might sound familiar to you. He's my best buddy, best man in my wedding. It's his dad, the mumbler, who led me to Christ. And so excited. He's going to come down from Detroit and preach to us on Monday and Tuesday. And then Kevin's going to close us out on Wednesday. One of the keys to revival is just being there. Proximity. Ain't nobody been changed by the Word that hadn't brought themselves under the hearing of the Word, the reading of the Word, the preaching of the Word. So you just need to be there, okay? I keep bumping this thing, scaring y'all. Everybody snapping back like that. So I just want to encourage you. Tell somebody, plan to come. Write it down on your calendar. Say, hey, I'm coming. That's when we're asking God a special time of renewing and celebration. We're calling it year one because it's year one of us being in the place that this church has been dreaming about for almost 20 years. This is the first year. What can Christ Community Church do if it had its own place, had its own building, if that part of the dream had been fulfilled? What would we see? Well, we're starting. We're beginning. And it's just an awesome thing. So just come on. Get fired up about it. Don't worry about holding back. Well, I don't want to be wishing too many great things would happen and then all of a sudden they don't happen and I'm disappointed. Throw all that disappointment out the window. Dream big in God. Pray big in God. Hope big in God. God does great and awesome things. And it's not just because we want Him to. It's because He's great and awesome. It's about us joining on to His train. Saying, hold on, Lord, we want to go the way you're going. Well, this is the depot, okay? So let's get here that week, and I'm just excited for us. Two pictures of revival. First one is in Ezekiel 37. I'm going to read the first 14 verses. I'm going to read some things that you're not going to understand. And I'm not going to explain them because I don't understand them all. A little bit of honesty. But I'm not here to give something to you intellectually from my brain to your brain. I want you to catch something. I want you to be caught up in God moving mightily among His people in this world. Because revival is not taught as much as it's caught. It's something you catch. You catch a vision for it. Okay, so I want you to catch this vision as I read the Word. It says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley, and that valley was full of bones. Then He caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And He said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, You know. And again He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened up your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Thus says the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have in the land you provided, in the building you provided, with all the blessings that we have, in friends, in families, in spiritual blessings. We say thank you, Lord. Help us, Father, to be an exceeding great army, spiritually alive and ready to move at your beck and call. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Y'all are going to have to get a little more excited for me this morning, but I think you'll get there. I hope you will. The first picture of revival I want you to see starts with the people of God at the basis of who they are. At the moment when we meet them, they're just a pile of disconnected, dry bones. How dead you got to be before you're just dry bones? You've been dead for an awful long time. You've been lying in the desert. Something came up and chewed whatever remaining meat was on you and just left you there, and the sun bleached you out, dried you out. You've been gone for a long time. God brings his prophet in there and he says, preach to these folks. That's the word prophesy. Preach to them. Come and preach to these folks who for a long time spiritually have been dried up, spiritually have been dead, been distracted, been discouraged. Those are all the things that dry our bones out, by the way. Discouragement will dry a Christian person, the people of God. It'll dry us out so quick. Did you hear what they said? They said, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Our circumstances have overwhelmed us. Our bills are too much. Our cars are too broken. I used to be active in church. I used to walk with the Lord. And you know, I got so tired. I got so old of it. I got so tired of people complaining and people whining and people being people that I just stopped. And I allowed the weight of it all just to weigh me down and to crush me and bring me low. That's who the preacher was preaching over. That's who he was talking about. Those were the dry bones. Oh, Lord, can't you see? You're going to have to use someone else. You're going to have to find some other way because I'm all used up. What's a dry bone if it's not just already been used up? Good for nothing. That's how they viewed themselves. That's how they felt. They felt worse than babies because babies at least are growing, right? They felt like they had done road, fulfilled their purpose, died, and were useless. Can I tell you, if you got breath in your lungs, if you got a heartbeat in your chest, if there's brain waves going around in the gray matter between your ears, God has a purpose for you.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, God has a purpose for us. See, one of the things that happened is they were just all scattered. They didn't have anything going on. It was a bone over here. Over there was the foot bone and the hand bone and the did I say ham bone? I don't know. That's just preacher's bad. The ham bone and the chicken bone and the turkey neck and all that. There's all scattered all over the place. Disunity. Well, I'm telling you, there's not much more a greater symbol of unity than an army standing together. That's what they became. Can I tell you, Christ Community Church? You know what I see a lot? I see a lot of folks, we don't really know who we're here with all the time. There's a good bit of disunity. Not disharmony now. Don't get me wrong. I'm coming up here to preach something that's not. I want to tell it like it is. And there's a disunity, like a disjointedness. You know, we got one over here, we got one over there, and one over yonder. What do you think God might want to do in our church when revival starts? I'm going to tell you, I think if you put your ear to the Spirit, because let him who has ears listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. If you put your ear to the Spirit, I believe he's saying this, not just to us, but to us and a whole lot of others too. Y'all need to come together. You all need to come together. Not just on Sunday morning when it's nice and y'all look good again. I remember you were here. You know, and you just look colorful. I got a colorful tie on, and we've all complimented each other, and we slapped backs, and we hugged, and that's wonderful. But I'm going to tell you, the people of God ought to assemble a little bit more, ought to resemble a little bit more like an army. See, an army has a task. An army has a purpose. An army has a commanding officer. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's not me. We have a shepherd who is alive. I'm not but an under-shepherd. The pastors, the whole pastoral staff, we're but tools. God wants to lead a unified Christ community church. And I want to tell you, I think that in some of our hearts, there's been discouragement. I think in some of our hearts, there's worry, there's fatigue, there's doubt. There's all kinds of distractions. And that's fine. It's not like God's going to say, you're not my child. I kick you out. You ever have a distracted, discouraged, depressed child? Was the answer to kick them out of your house and disown them? No. And that's not God's answer for us either. He's going to love us up, but I promise this. We're not going to see the great army. We're not going to see the great revival until we're ready to say, cure the dryness in me. Cure the apathy. Cure the desire only just to show up for a moment, go on and be otherwise unattached from what's going on in the church. Man, the revival's going to start with us. Now, who's going to bring it about? Or how those bones come to life again? I promise it's a spiritual thing. You see what God says? It's not about them doing better, doing more, doing like... I love and I hate when I hear sermons that have this idea, if you just do better. If you just do better, God will just move around you more, and then everything will be fine. Well, that's great, but you know what? I know me, God knows me, and I've only got a certain potential for do-good. And it burns up pretty quick. Kind of like not having a lot of gas in your tank and keeping your foot floored on the accelerator. If it's based on my goodness, revival ain't never going to happen. If it's based on my willpower and your willpower, revival's never going to come. If it's based on what we can do, there will never be a transformation from disjointed dry bones to a standing, exceedingly great army. It takes the Spirit of God to do that. And what you and I need to do is be available. Be available. Be ready for Him to do a work in us. And if that part of that work is to encourage you where you've become discouraged, own it. Own it. Just tell the Lord, I have become discouraged. You know, a good friend of mine, and many of y'all know, I've been taught, Steve Wilkes, he went to be with the Lord. He died unexpectedly, and it was a shock, man. It hurt. But let me tell you something about Steve that just made him so awesome. If you ever talked to him, if you ever emailed him, if you ever hung around him for a minute, he's going to say this to you. Let's win the world for Christ. I believe most Christians give up on anything like that well into their Christian walk. Well, if I just said, let's win Grenada to Christ, I think there'd be people in here saying, wow, that just sounds really nice. It's really nice words. You know, we got a mayoral candidate election going on where we got all this arguing and all this fussing and all this fighting. You're talking about win Grenada to Christ? Seems like we're more disjointed and ununified as a community as ever. Who's going to do that? The Spirit of God can do that. And I'm going to tell you, the people of God ought to be the ones who never, ever forget that and never stop praying that way. Who does it? The Spirit of God does it. He does it for His glory. Listen to verse 14. And we're going to move on to the next picture. It says, then you shall know. Well, verse 14 says, I will put my Spirit in you and you shall live. Oh, Lord, do we need a dose? Oh, do we need a dose? We just need to be filled up. You know, the Bible says be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't say be filled one time and then run out. You know, we're like leaky vessels. We got like almost like a sieve. You know, it just kind of runs through. But that's not because God's not faithful or we're not good. It's just how we're made. We need to stay in proximity to God. We need to stay close to God. He has what we need. Matter of fact, he says in the Gospel of Luke, if you ask of God, of the Holy Spirit, he's going to give it to you. Now, you've been sealed with the Spirit of God when you got saved. But we need to be filled so we can be the people he wants us to be. Amen. Day by day, week after week. We need him. You don't ever outgrow God. And it says, after he says, I will put my Spirit in you and you shall be alive, then it says this, then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken this and have performed it. I don't know about you. I'm looking to see God do things that only the Spirit of God can do in Christ Community Church. Y'all get that? Do y'all believe that He can do that? Do y'all believe He wants to do that? Well, I'm going to tell you, just like Jesus told to Thomas, stop being unbelieving and believe that He can do these things in us. Great things, things we dreamed about. LG the other day gave me a handout. He said, or emailed it to me about the dream of Christ Community Church. It involved reaching out into our community, reaching thousands of people, starting new churches. And you might look around and say, oh, I don't know how we're going to do that. I'm going to tell you, we're going to do it through the Spirit of God as He leads us. But it's going to take us allowing Him to draw us together. Got to be together. Just got to be. The second picture is over there in Ezekiel 47. I'm going to read the first 12 verses. Y'all just listen. Get this picture. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced toward the east. And the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And he brought me out by way of the north gate. And he led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces east, and there was water running out of the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my knees. And again, he measured 1,000. He brought me through the water, and the water came up to my waist. And again, he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there, along the bank of the river, there were many trees, one on one side and on the other side. Then he said to me, this water flows eastward to the eastern region and goes down into the valley and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river goes, it will live. There will be a great multitude of fish because of these water, where these waters go. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. And it shall be that the fishermen will stand by it in En-Gedi and to En-Eglam, which has two weird Hebrew words, but y'all got me. And they will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds of fish as of the great sea, and there will be exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed, for they will be given over to salt. But along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their waters flow. The water flows from the sanctuary. The fruit will be for food, their leaves for medicine. Now, I know that's a lot of scripture, but I want you to picture it. And I believe God's word doesn't return void. I want you to get that picture in your heart. I want to get you a picture of this. It starts at the sanctuary. It started at the temple. It started right there in the presence of God. That's where it starts. It doesn't start by our ingenuity, by our strengths, by even our weaknesses or any other way. It starts at the temple. It starts with God. It's a God thing, this revival is. I also want you to see that it starts small. At first, it was like a trickle. It was just coming underneath the door. It was just a little bit. You know, we've already started praying on Wednesdays and in Sunday school for revival. This last Wednesday, I heard this testimony from this sweet lady right here. She said, you know what? I've already seen revival starting in me. It starts as a trickle, just a little bit, and it grows. See, before long, we keep believing God and following God and being available to Him. That goes from our ankles to our knees. Before long, if we keep following God and staying available to God and the Spirit continues to move, it goes from your knees to your waist. Before long, you find out you're being carried away in this thing and you're not sure what's going on except for God's in control, and it's an awesome thing. Have you seen anything like that before? Where the presence of God is moving like a mighty river that can't be stopped, bringing life and healing and fruit everywhere it goes. I can tell you this, I've never seen it like that. I believe the majority of Christians and churches have never seen it like that. But I tell you this, I believe He means for folks to see it. I think He means for us to pursue it. And I don't know why we would be disqualified from seeing it. Let's see it. Let's seek Him. Let's be available to Him and say, Lord, start, even if it's just in me, as a small trickle, just a small drop. I don't know about you, but I know this. When people reconcile to one another, that's a sign that God's moving, because reconciliation comes from the cross. When people give their life to Christ, that's a sign of God moving, because you don't get saved and come to Christ and be born again without the Spirit of God moving. When people say, hey, I'm sorry, I blew it, that's a sign of God moving. When people get together and say, I want to know the Word of God, that's a sign of God moving. And I'm going to tell you, you get all these little trickles going up and going up, before too long, we go get caught up in it. And you might say, I don't know if I want to get caught up with it. I'm going to tell you, you want to get caught up in it. Because life without it is going to be just like everybody else you know who's lived and died and wished they saw God do something extraordinary, but never did. Jesus said this about His time. There's been many, a prophet, a priest, and a king who wished to see the day that you see when Messiah was walking around, and yet they did not. They looked for it, they hoped for it, they prayed for it. But I'm going to tell you something. I want to see it. I want to see the day when God does extraordinary things. And why not here? Why not us? We can't force God, but I believe this. If we'll make ourselves available, He'll start with us. And everywhere that river went, it said life went. Now, revival ought to start with the people of God. But can I tell you, it ought not stop there. Christ Community Church, the last time we went on mission together in a big group has been I don't know when. The last time we got involved in a church planting, which has been a part of our DNA from the time we started, is I don't know when. And I'm going to tell you, God did not give us this building to become a container for the water of revival. This is not supposed to be a cistern, a place where water is trapped for our own welfare, or a well. It's to be part of the river. We're supposed to see this as a sign that God is wanting to do something and get us out,
not just to make it happy for us on the end. Y'all get what I'm saying? Revival starts with us in the sense that God works on us first, but it doesn't end with us. Everywhere the river went, there was life. This is what the Word of God says. Everything will live wherever the river goes. I'm going to tell you what I believe the river is. I believe it's the Spirit of God empowering the gospel of Christ. And everywhere it goes, there's life. And if we don't take it, it don't go. If we won't go because we're caught up in us, because we're happy with our long, I think this thing looks, the Ark of Noah looked like our building. I'm just convinced of that. This is what Noah's Ark looked like. Noah's Ark might have been a little taller. Except the dock, our building would have been a little taller than Adam. But I'm just saying, this is what it looked like. Long and narrow. And I'm going to tell you, he didn't mean for the ark just to be planted on Mount Ararat. It was to gather people up to be going down with the current, okay? It was to float. It was to go. That's what our intent is. That's why God put us here. He didn't put us here for us. Y'all get that? I feel like I'm getting, do I look angry? I want to look angry. I'm trying to, let me get my face back on. Listen. God wants us to go out. Win people to the Lord. I'm almost at Joel Osteen style. God wants us to go out. I can't do it. My face don't stretch that far. But listen, somebody will say, you made fun of Joel. I got no problem with Joel. Anyway, point being is this. You don't need to email me or anything. I don't like the way you talk about that other preacher and all that stuff. I'll be like, it's all right, honey. He's a coach. He's a preacher. No, no, I done messed up now. Anyway. Done messed up. Point being is this. God has something greater for you and I than we could ever imagine. Do you believe that? Will you go where he tells you to go? Now stop. Because I'm going to ask the question again. I'm going to call God and not be our witness. God is our witness. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm asking for a moment of sober thinking. You don't got to answer out loud to me. I'll know what you decided in your heart by what we do as we go forward. But I want you to answer this question between you and God right now. Will you go where he wants you to go? Because I don't know how revival ever comes to a group of people who are determined to say, no, Lord, I won't. We hold with the gifts that have been given to us, the Holy Spirit of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's as if it's a river of life. It brings healing. It brings life. It brings fruit everywhere it goes. And we've got to be ready to say, yes, Lord, I will go. Amen? Now, we're going to close. Have those pictures in your mind, just to review, a picture of a disjointed group that's been barraged by doubt, discouragement, maybe even just that low estimation of what God can do. And maybe you think your just ministry's over or it's not possible for you. Revival starts when God transforms that group into a mighty standing army in his name, through his Spirit. He does it. And then the second part is that army is seen like a mighty river. And everywhere it goes, it brings healing, it brings life, it brings fruit. It doesn't stop. It becomes from a trickle to a huge torrent, just ripping through the banks. And I'm going to tell you, I want to be a part of that. I believe God wants us to be a part of that. Get those pictures in your mind. Pray for those things. Bring us together, Lord. Make us an army. Send us out, Father, like a river. And Lord, right now, y'all just pray with me. Close your eyes, bow your heads. Father, right now, prepare us. We don't know what all you'd have us do. We don't know where all you'd have us go. But I know that as we've gone in the past, and even as we've gone recently, just we went in February to Beautiful Feet, we did see you bring life. We did see people get saved. We know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We know that you've called us to go. So, Father, revive us to where we are no longer happy sitting in complacency and apathy. But we're ready. Not angry. Not angry. Work on me, Lord. We don't want to do this from repulsion. We don't want to do this from throwing our hands in the air. We don't want to do this from anger. We want to do this through the Spirit of God. No credit or glory to us, but all to you. So, Father, move in us. With your eyes closed and your head bowed, I just want to ask this today. I wonder if there's anybody here who's never given their life to Christ. I'm just asking straightforward. If you don't know that you've been born again, if you don't know, then let me tell you, your bones aren't just dry. The weight on you is not just discouragement. The Bible says the one who does not believe, it's as if they're condemned already. There's a weight of condemnation on you. But I can promise you this, the gospel of Christ, the Spirit of God, will make you born again today. Today, you can be saved today. If you're unsure about it and you say, I just want to be sure, you can be sure today. Because God does those things. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the church. It's about what God can do. If that's you and you need to make it sure, if you need to be born again, would you just, I just invite you right now, put your hand in the air that I might pray for you. And I'll pray for you and I'll come talk to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. You don't got to, if you want to come up here, you can come up here. But I want to pray for you right where you are. If that's you, raise your hand up. You just say, I need to know. I'm not sure, but I need to know. Or I know I need to be born again. Father God, you know the hearts of everyone here. And Lord, I pray this, that as everybody answered that question in their heart between you and them, whether it be the question of being born again or the question of being, I will go wherever you lead me. Father, I just pray that in our heart, we would be well-pleasing to you. Because there's been forever a people who draw close to you with their lips, but are far from you in their heart. And Father, I just pray that we, from the inside out, would be transformed into those who would be a pleasing, obedient folks in the Lord through your Spirit. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask now if the ushers would come forward to take up the morning offering. And as they come, I'm going to pray for us. Father God, you say in your word that the one who is blessed, the one who trusts in your word, will be like a tree planted by the river that's bearing its fruit every month. His leaf does not wither. And Father, we just pray that in this church you would rise us up, that that river of life would trickle and start from here, start from what you're doing, move through us, bring us together. And Father, the prosperity we're looking for is of a spiritual nature, that we might see much fruit, because you're glorified when we bear much fruit, that we would be seeking to obey you, knowing that when we do, it's like saying, Jesus, we love you. Because whoever obeys his word loves him. That's what you've taught us. So, Father, we want to be seeing a revival here of the sort that pleases you, that comes from you, that follows you. And in everything we do, Lord, we look to you for the resource. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name.